This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. It wasn't so long ago that a man walked into the offices of the Los Angeles Times with a full-page ad and offered $2,500 if they would print it. The ad was accepted, and it wasn't until it got into the composing room that someone noticed the content of the ad. In two-inch letters at the top were the words, "Jesus Christ the Second Appearing." The ad went on to explain that on three successive days, he would appear in three Hollywood churches. It was signed, "Jesus Christ the Second." Frantic orders were issued and presses were stopped. The ad was replaced with a furniture store advertisement. As I read about that, I was reminded of our studies in Mark 13, when the Lord Jesus told four of his disciples that many would come saying, "I am Christ," and deceive many. Today we continue our lesson on this prophetic chapter in the Gospel of Mark. The disciples had asked the Lord about the destruction of Jerusalem, and he had given them that, plus much more, even telling them about the events leading up to his return. Let's begin our reading today with verse 14. This is Mark chapter 13, verses 14 through 20.
"But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him who is on the housetop not go down or enter in to get anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babies in those days. But pray that it may not happen in winter, for those days will be a time of tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation which God created until now, and never shall. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days."
The words "abomination of desolation" mean literally the profanation that appalls. And this may first speak of the coming of Titus in A.D. 70 and the destruction of Jerusalem. At that time, the troops offered sacrifices to their national flags. It was a time of difficulty for the people. We're told that over 1 million died of starvation or by the sword. And only those who heeded the advice of the Lord Jesus here and fled to the hills were safe. We also believe that this prophecy reaches far beyond A.D. 70, to the Great Tribulation and to the Antichrist. Dr. Wiest explains this passage thus: "Antichrist will make a treaty of friendship and religious toleration with the Jewish nation for a period of 7 years. After 3.5 years, he will violate that covenant by stopping the temple worship and will enter the Holy of Holies. He will then show himself to be not the reputed friend and protector of Israel, but its bitter enemy. When that occurs, let Israel take that as a signal and flee." He again warns of those who claim to be Christ coming on the scene. We go on to more concerning this time of the tribulation. Mark 13, verses 24 through 27.
"But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send forth the angels, and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven."
Here we have a description of events at the end of the Great Tribulation. We see disturbances in the sun, moon, and stars. It speaks of the Lord coming in the clouds. The word for clouds is sometimes used of a multitude of people. The Greeks used it of an army of soldiers. This is a time of great power and glory for the Lord when the Antichrist will be defeated. We believe the gathering of the elect here refers to the gathering of all Israel at the second advent of the Messiah. And now the next section, Mark 13, verses 28 to 32.
Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. Even so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone.
We've already noted that this is not an easy chapter. We have two problem passages before us. What does the Lord Jesus mean when he says that this generation will not pass away until all these things take place? The question then is, what is meant by generation? The word, the original word here for generation, can also be translated race or lineage. It denotes a family. The race here then is the Jewish race. The preservation of the Jewish race is one of the wonders of history. The pharaohs, Hitler and others, have tried to destroy them, but they continue on today as a separate and definite race. And then we come to the second question, which is even harder for us to comprehend. What did the Lord Jesus mean when he said that he, as the Son, did not know the day nor the hour of his coming? Theologians have wrestled with this. However, for the believer, there's no great problem. If God is God, and he can know all things, and he can choose not to know certain things. The Lord Jesus, as God and man, chose not to know that hour. I like what one writer comments on this, and I quote, "In such matters, it's better to adore than to argue." How can we, as finite men, hope to comprehend the Almighty? Yes, it's better to adore than to argue. This chapter closes with the admonition to watch, to be on the alert. It's a good word for us today. A study of prophecy should cause us to think on things eternal and to keep looking up, to watch. Are you ready for his coming? You can get ready by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior now. This is the decision that we would put before you. You have to make the decision. No one else can make it for you. And if you trust him as Savior, trust him to take your sin away, then you can be ready. You can be ready and watching at all times.